Peace be with you. We hear those words from time to time. Some ministers use them as their opening greeting to a congregation each Sunday. While here in the Abbey, they tend to be used at the close of communion, as we greet those around us assured of the presence of Christ in our lives and as an acknowledgement of God's grace in our lives. I wonder how we really hear those words. Perhaps if we hear them as said during a communion service, then we feel a sense of dread accompanying them. It's that moment when our neighbours might turn to us and shake our hands. It's not something we're necessarily comfortable with. And it's a discomfort that's summed up in the words of a song by Richard Stilgo and Peter Skellern called Mrs. Beamish. I'm not going to sing it. I certainly wouldn't sing it all. Mrs. Beamish stands in church expression calm and holy, and when the organ plays, she mumbles hymns extremely slowly. A pillar of St. Botolph's for 40 years or more, she does the flowers at Easter and the brasswork on the door. But recently St. Botolph's has gained a brand new vicar. His name is Ken, he's single, and he wants the hymns sung quicker. He's introduced a custom which Mrs. Beamish hates, so she rounds upon the person next to her and clearly states, "Don't you dare shake hands with me or offer signs of peace. You lay a finger on me and I'll send for the police. Don't whisper, 'Peace be with you.' This is the C of E. So bend the knee, say thou and thee, and keep your hands off me." There is another verse, two choruses, and a little twiddly bit in the middle, but I'll not read it all. Maybe that's not you. Maybe your focus is on the word peace, and you imagine that Jesus is calling you to a quieter place. The dictionary definition of peace offers two thoughts on what the word might mean. Firstly, it's freedom from disturbance and suggests tranquility. Or it's a period in which there's no war or war has ended. The second of these two definitions doesn't fit with the call to peace in the gospel reading. But perhaps we might want to say that the first is what Jesus intends. As Jesus stands in the room and invokes peace to those gathered, he's bringing a time of tranquility and a freedom from the disturbance and anxiety they have encountered in recent days. Peace be with you. There is an element of hearing the word as an echo of the tranquility as Jesus steps into the upper room. As we attempt to grasp at what those words meant to the disciples, we perhaps have to step into the room with them. I wonder if you can take yourself back into that moment, to the meeting with the risen presence of Jesus. In Luke's Gospel, the story we hear today is the third of four meetings with the risen Jesus in one chapter. The writer of Luke tells us more about the risen Jesus than any of the other synoptic gospels. In one chapter, we join the women as they head to the tomb on Easter morning and find that Jesus is gone. Then we're told the story of the road to Emmaus as two followers of Jesus meet someone they think they do not know, only to discover that Jesus has walked with them. The third is our story of a meeting in a locked room. And the chapter ends with the writer's first attempt at describing the ascension. I'll come back to that later, probably. But it's worth remembering that the Gospel of Luke shares a writer with the Book of Acts. So when I say this is the first attempt at describing the ascension, there's another description of the event in the opening chapter of Acts. We're hearing this story a fortnight after Easter. And so we have already lost a sense of the timing of what we're hearing. For the story into which we enter happens on Easter night. The women have been at the tomb in the early hours of the morning. The followers of Jesus walked to Emmaus during the day. Then they've hurtled back to Jerusalem with the news. And now, in an upper room, with the women, the followers, the disciples, perhaps Mary, his mother, and perhaps others who have been important to Jesus, the risen Lord appears. What emotions fill that room? Before the appearance, and as we discover as we wind our way through the earlier stories of the chapter, we sense the sadness at their loss, the disbelief at what they're hearing, the incredulity that such a thing might happen. Now, with the risen presence of Jesus, the disciples are afraid because they're fearing that this is a ghost in the room. Perhaps afraid because they think that Jesus will be angry with them. Why hadn't they trusted? Why did they run away and hide? Where were they when he needed them most? Into that atmosphere, Jesus announces, "Peace be with you." These words do carry with them that sense of calming the storm of emotion. We've heard that announcement offered before in the middle of a lake on a boat as a real storm takes place around them. It calms not just the emotions, but it's a challenge to the doubts that the disciples and we have as we wrestle with the gospel and a physical resurrection. These stories don't match our understanding of how the world works. And so to those doubts, Jesus says, "Peace," so that we might be called to a renewed faith. In his commentary on this passage, David Lewes says of the doubts that the disciples and we exhibit, "Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Doubt, in fact, is probably a necessary ingredient to faith. Faith, by definition, is trust in spite of a lack of evidence. Faith is not knowledge. Faith is more tension-filled. It is acting as if something is true, even when you have no proof that it is." But that's me taking us away from peace to doubt. I want us to stick with what we understand when we hear the words, "Peace be with you." In the Gospel, the English word is translated from the Greek word eirene, and it carries the same meanings and more. Beyond tranquility for nations and peace between individuals, it also mentions security, safety, prosperity, and felicity. It talks about messianic peace, a way that leads to salvation. That, for me, suggests something active. However, we also know that while the gospel was originally written in Greek, there are some words that we should hear in Jesus' voice, and therefore hear them in either Aramaic or Hebrew. So peace should be shalom. Shalom is used as a greeting and as a farewell by Hebrew speakers. But the fact that Jesus said these words must have been important for the gospel writer to ensure that they are here. In Hebrew, it's a word that means much more than the opposite of noisy. Again, it's a word of activity. It brings with it a feeling of contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. It's a spoken assurance that all is well with the world, that all is just and fair, that the world becomes as God intends. That makes it more than a greeting or a farewell, but instead a call to take action in the world. The gospel goes on to show Christ actively instilling a sense of peace in those who are in the room. By asking for food, Jesus not only demonstrates the reality of his presence, but his desire that it's through the action of humanity that God will be revealed. It's not just his physical hunger that Jesus wants fed. Throughout the gospel, he has been hungry to bring the presence of the divine to all people through feeding the needs of those who were cast aside by the powers of government and social convention. In this moment, in an upper room, as the minds of the disciples are opened to a new understanding of who Jesus is and how his peace will transform the world, shalom becomes an invitation to get involved in bringing the kingdom of heaven to life in the midst of earthly turmoil. I said I would come back to the book of Acts, and I'll do so only briefly. In these weeks of Easter, there's going to be more opportunity to engage with the book of Acts. However, it can be viewed as a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel's written as a letter to someone called Theophilus, and Acts continues that letter. The story of Acts offers a sign of the transformation of the disciples from the ragtag followers of a reckless prophet to instigators of healing and persuasive dialogue. In what we hear today, we find Peter explaining to onlookers how they were able to heal a crippled man and then calling on the crowd to change their ways. It's a story of the disciples living out the act of call of shalom, the act of call of peace that seeks to make the world more like God's world. Peace be with you. Like so many of our encounters with the important words of faith, how we hear or understand them is shaped by where we are in our own lives and our emotions. For some, it will be extremely important to hear those words as a stilling of the storm that traverses across their lives. It brings a sense of order into the chaos and places the healing presence of the living God at the heart of all the struggles to be faced. But we shouldn't be afraid to hear them differently. We shouldn't be afraid to hear them as a call to bring peace, to bring shalom into life beyond this building. Peace be with you. And Christ ushers in the hope that the hunger of the world will still be fed, as those who know his risen presence bring signs of the kingdom of heaven to life, as they offer hope to those who are hungry, lost, sick, or desperate. Let me finish with an almost prayer from Thomas Merton's Thoughts in Solitude that I think speaks for us all in those moments when we're reluctant to live out God's call upon our lives. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself, and the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Peace be with you. Amen.